Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Stan Gorton, crack investigator from way back east in the wilds of Pennsylvania. You don't work out of a bat cave, do you?
Not that I've noticed, but I've been in a lot of caves and mines looking for evidence of Bigfoot, especially during the 70s, you know, when we had sightings in certain areas. If there were nearby caves, my team would go in there and look for evidence. And we never found any evidence that these, whatever they are, these creatures were staying or living in there. They may have gone in there temporarily, but there was no evidence any of these creatures were staying in any caves or mines in the area.
Well, certainly you didn't find any Deeros there.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Okay, shaver mystery, Deeros, you didn't find it,
oh, okay.
I'm sure.
No, nothing like that either. But there's a lot of interesting stories with caves and mines going back many, many years as well. Give you a little more about some of the oddities we found in 73. We just told you about the disappearing footprints, and that, again, is still ongoing. But one of the first things that we noticed, a pattern that we noticed back then was, one, we'd have a UFO sighting in a certain location, and within a short time, within minutes, hours, or days later, we'd have a Bigfoot sighting there, or vice versa. And then we had incidents, very well-documented incidents, with Bigfoot and UFOs seen together at the same time and place. And that's when we began to really scratch our heads, like, what is going on here? This is something I was not looking for. None of my team was looking for. We thought Bigfoot was an unknown primate, unknown animal. And the more we looked into the reports and the more reports we were getting, we began to realize something is going on here. Would you like me to give you some examples of some of the cases?
Absolutely.
All right. So September of 73, one of the cases that stood out, north of Pittsburgh, we get a report that two young women were outside in the country waiting for a friend to come by to take them somewhere. While they're standing there, this large 7-8 foot tall, hair-covered creature with white hair. Now, you don't commonly hear about the Bigfoot with white hair, but you do get those reports on occasion. So this thing is running across the road towards the woods, which is fascinating enough, but in one of its hands, it had a glowing ball of light. And soon after, this large object came across the sky and projected a beam of light into the woods where the creature ran into. Well, that caught our attention, among others. Another case, this would have been in Westmoreland County here. This was a wife of a prominent doctor back in those days. She observed in her area a large black triangular object hovering over the area. About the same time, she smelled this terrible putrid odor. She said, like, sulfur, rotten eggs, that she never smelled before. And a few hours later, down the road, she hears gunshots. When she went to try to find out what the gunshots were from, she found out her neighbor went out to the back to see what was upsetting their dog, to see this large, hairy Bigfoot was chasing after the dog, so the fella grabbed his rifle and shot at this thing as it ran off into the woods. So we thought, well, that's pretty interesting. You have a UFO sighting, then you have this Bigfoot sighting in the area. Well, more and more reports began to come in. And then we had the case of all cases. And again, we could talk for hours just on this particular case and the strangeness of it. The basic part of the story is this. October 25th, 1973, up in Fayette County, I'm sure you'll hear me mention it quite often, up along the Chestnut Ridge in that area, I get a call from a state trooper from the Uniontown Barracks. He just came back from investigating this incident. It was a multiple witness UFO landing, and it got much stranger. And he said to me, he said, I just got back from this incident. He said, I think there's a good chance there's something still up on the farm, up in the pasture. Can you get a team up here as soon as you can? Well, we did. It was late in the evening. We got our equipment together. We got our team together. We got our radios and radiation gear and other equipment. And we found our way up to Fayette County. and we met with one of the prime witnesses at that point, and later another relative, and I believe a few others that night. And of course, over the next few days, we interviewed multiple people. There were about 15 people involved in this incident around 9 o'clock that night. It's a farming community. They observed this object. It's about as big as a barn. It's this very large red, brown spherical object about 100 feet off the ground, slowly moving down towards the farm. Well, I always focus the story on the prime witness. I call him the prime witness. He was the son of the farmer who was coming out to visit his dad on the dad's property where this was happening. He's riding down the road, and he sees people standing outside looking at this thing, and he sees it coming down. And so he decides he's going to go up to a neighbor's house, which is higher up on the hill, to get a better look at whatever this thing might be. And he and two of the neighbor boys, they watch this thing coming down that looks like it's going to land on his dad's pasture. So they decide, we're going to go up and see what this thing is. They stop over at his dad's farm before they go up to the pasture, and the older fella grabs a 30-06 with a handful of ammunition. He didn't realize till later that in that handful of ammunition, he had two tracer rounds. When you fire those tracers, you just get that luminous trail. Anyhow, as they're riding down the farm road, the dogs around the area are just going crazy barking. They hear this loud, high-pitched whining noise and these loud baby crying sounds. And they're getting louder and louder as they get closer to the area. They're in a truck. They kind of angle the truck so they can have the headlights on that see their path up the hill to go to the pasture. But as they're looking at this, it looks like something's draining the power from the headlights that they had never seen happen before, like it was losing power. And they walk up to the hill, and they get up there to the pasture, and they're standing there in amazement. About 250 feet away, this object is now on the ground or right above it. And they said it was not a complete sphere now. It was like a half a sphere, like a big white dome, about 100 feet or so in diameter, illuminating the whole area, making that loud whining noise. They just can't figure out what this thing is. They can't believe what they're observing. And as they're watching this object, about 75 feet away, there's a barbed wire fence. Well, that's what drew their eyes over, because along that barbed wire fence are these two tall, bipedal creatures covered with long, dark, matted hair hanging off the body. They're moving in their direction. The one in front is the largest creature. It's about 8 feet tall. The one behind is about 7 feet tall. They're walking upright. They're covered with long, dark, matted hair. They have no neck. They have large, luminous, glowing green eyes. Their arms are so long, their helmet hanging down almost to the ground. They're moving very stiffly, one behind the other. Well, the one boy sees this, and he runs out of the field very, very shook up. The other younger fella yells to the older guy, shoot him, shoot him. So that guy takes his first shot, which was a tracer. That tracer just gave it that luminous trail. He fires his second shot. It's the second tracer. But this time it's different. When he fires that second tracer, the largest of the two creatures leaves out this loud whining cry, raises his one hand and reaches out as if to grab at that tracer. And the moment it does that, the large object in the field vanishes and disappears. It doesn't take off or rise from the ground. It just vanishes from sight. All the luminosity, most of it's gone. The loud whining noise is gone. The creatures turn around, start walking back slowly along the fence line back towards the woods. At that point, the guy's firing live ammo from his 30-06 at the creatures, mainly aiming at the largest creature. And he said to me, he said, I'll never forget how that big creature with his glowing green eyes just kept staring at me as I'm pumping live ammo into it, and has no effect on them whatsoever. The shorter part of the story is, once again, they ran back to the truck, they went to the farmhouse, they told the family what happened, they took him to the neighbors, and they called the state police. And when the officer arrived 45 minutes later, the main witness said to him, he said, look, just forget about it, you're going to think I'm crazy. And the trooper said, I have to interview you, I have to get the report. We had a report of two similar creatures on the mountain the night before. I need to go up to investigate. So they went up in the police car, the troop car, up into the field to look for evidence. And the trooper told me, he said, the area where the object was on the ground was self-luminescent and glowing, 100 feet or more in diameter.
We're going to glow with this announcement. More to come with Gene Randall and Stan. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender, not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIVE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. If you need financial help, have an advanced stage illness and a life insurance policy, text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we're glowing one more time with Stan Gordon. Go ahead.
All right, so the trooper's up there. They're looking around for evidence. He sees a self-luminescent glowing area, very large, about 100 feet or more in diameter, he told me. He said he noticed the farm animals wouldn't go near it. he said that he aimed his flashlight beam into it, could barely see the beam, and he said, if I had a newspaper, I could have sat down within that glow and read the newsprint from the glow coming off the field. And they looked around for a little bit. They decided to go back to the barracks. I was told when he went back to the state police barracks, both the witness and the trooper were separately taken to two separate rooms. They were separately interviewed, and then they called my team up to investigate the incident. There was a lot of other things when later on it gets more and more complicated, but that was the case that convinced myself and my team that we're dealing with something that's much, much stranger. And as the days and weeks went on, the cases got even much, much stranger from widespread areas. And then we began to have some, even the most unusual reports, what began to give us clues as to why we may not have any bodies of Bigfoot. And for a lack of a better term, as I say often, reluctant as I am to say it, the data we're seeing more and more is that we might be dealing with something that's interdimensional, that has a physical and a non-physical component to it. It comes and it goes. It can leave evidence at times and it's gone. And we're seeing more and more cases, again, not only in Pennsylvania, but around the country and around the world, which highly suggests that at least some Bigfoot creatures may not be a normal flesh and blood animal. In November of 73, up in Fayette County, again, up in the, along the mountains up there, in this particular area, and I'll tell you about the case afterwards that was the convincing case to me, a fellow was hunting one night. He had his hunting dogs. He had a lot of property up there, way off the main roads, and it was getting dark, and he sees this figure way ahead of him, and he thought it was a person on his property, so he yells out to him and says, "What are you doing on my property?" There's no response. As he gets closer to what he thought was a person, he realized this was a large, upright, hair-covered creature. He grabbed his pistol, started shooting at it. He said he knew he hit it, and he said it physically disappeared, but he could still hear it running away. We thought that was pretty interesting. So February 6, 1974, up in the same general area. I bet you guys will probably remember the time period. Well, here in the United States, you remember the time period. There was gas rationing going on. There was a big national trucker strike. There was violence across the highways in the country. Back in Pennsylvania, the National Guard and the state police were patrolling together. So you had members of both units that actually responded to this case. I wasn't able to get up there the next morning because I couldn't get gas where I lived. Anyhow, the story focuses on this woman who lived in this cabin home deep in the mountains. She had lived there all her life. She knew animals very well. She was a very good shot. And it was a normal evening. And she's sitting there watching television when she hears this noise, this ruckus on her little front porch, like something was knocking pop cans around. Well, her first thought was that a few weeks before there was a pack of wild dogs came through her area. She figured the dogs are probably back, so she thought, you know what, I'll just grab my shotgun and I'll fire over their head and scare those dogs away. So what she does, she grabs her shotgun, loads one chamber. She takes the weapon with her and goes over and turns on the switch for the outside porch light. She walks over and opens up the front door and steps out. And right there in front of her is no dogs, but maybe 2 to 3 feet away is this huge, at least 7 foot tall, hair-covered creature that rose up its hands, its arms straight over his head the moment the light came on. Her reaction is, what does she do? She fires right into it with her shotgun. She said there's this brilliant flash of light, like the flash on a camera, and this creature physically disappears right in front of her. But that's not the end. Her in-laws lived 100 feet away. They heard her fire the weapon. They called her, asked her, what did you shoot at? She tried to tell them. So her son-in-law grabs his weapon, his pistol, starts walking up that dark road. As he got closer to the house, he said he's surrounded by 4 or 5 hairy people with eyes like coals of fire. Starts shooting at them as he runs into the cabin. And about that same time, they see this large Christmas ornament-shaped object over the woods hovering at the same time. And that's when they called the state police. Well, I talked to the primary investigator, and he said by the time they found where it was up in the mountains, whatever was going on was gone. But he said so something very strange had gone on up there. And he told me, he said, when I got up there, I interviewed, he said, I remember two of the women, he said, they were both very sincere, both very, very scared. One woman, he said, was extremely shook up and very, very scared. But he said, when I got there, he said, there wasn't a sound. There were numerous animals, numerous dogs on the property, horses, cattle, cats in the house, a baby in the house. He said, everything was just quiet. He said, those dogs wouldn't move. I think one was an Eskimo Spitz, one was a German Shepherd. One of those dogs was in a cage, and he said, that dog didn't move, wouldn't make a sound. He actually opened the cage and tried to pull the dog out, and the dog didn't even move. He said, something really odd happened based on animal reactions. When I got up there next morning, we were welcomed by all the dogs barking. Everything was back to normal. And I remember the people telling me they had a young baby in the home, and they said that night was the only night ever that that baby cried and cried and carried on for hours. They had never seen their child act like that before, nor had they ever seen their animals react that way before. And that's very, very common, that in many cases with Bigfoot, even the most ferocious dogs, when these creatures are very close to them, they're like paralyzed in fear. They shake, they cower, they hide, they cry, they won't move. Sometimes they won't eat right for two or three days later. That's very, very common with many reports. So that was the case, among others, that gave us some indication of why we may not have any bodies of these creatures. And there's been more and more incidents going on that indicate something similar over the years.
So what exactly, okay, this is really interesting. What exactly are we suggesting here? I mean, first of all, I really just absolutely love that you came on the show and started talking about this, because we've had other people who are into cryptids, Bigfoot, and so on, and I've always asked them, you know, what kind of connection do you see with UFOs? Some of them say, well, there's, you know, there really isn't that much of a connection. Others will go, yeah, sometimes there's a connection, but I feel like we've just hit the jackpot here. Like, there's no question there's a connection. And we also ask guests about this sort of a unified fields theory of paranormal phenomena. And because it all points to it, just like you're saying, it's something alien, and I don't think there's really any question about it.
Well, once again, you know, when we use the term alien, that doesn't necessarily mean extraterrestrial. You know, I've been saying years and years ago when I started writing about these subjects back in the 70s, I am not suggesting that Bigfoot is riding around a passenger inside of a spaceship from another planet, because we don't know what the UFOs really are.
Let's focus on that in our next segment. Stan Gordon, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. He made the announcement from the White House. She spoke of the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I will be mindful of who came before me. The flag of the United States is still flying at half staff in memory of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to mark the end of a great American life. Justice Ginsburg began her career at a time when women were not welcome in the legal profession. But she not only broke glass ceilings, she smashed them. For that, she has won the admiration of women across the country and indeed all over the world. Particularly poignant to me was her long and deep friendship with Justice Antonin Scalia, my own mentor.
She meant to say poignant. This is USA Radio News.
1 million is a terrible number, and I think we need to reflect on that.
Dr. Michael Ryan of the World Health Organization speaking about the world's death toll from COVID-19. It's another grim milestone as the U.S. has reached 200,000 deaths from the virus only a few days ago. According to Johns Hopkins University, the United States also now has 7 million confirmed cases. While the vaccine is considered crucial to flattening the curve, the WHO's Bruce Aylward says it's vital people realize the tools exist to contain it.
If we start thinking about it as a function of the vaccine, people will unnecessarily and unacceptably die as we wait for a vaccine.
Demonstrations continue in Louisville, Kentucky, calling for justice for Breonna Taylor. Taylor's family is demanding the release of all body camera footage, police files, and the transcripts of the grand jury hearings that led to no charges against the police officers who killed Taylor during a raid at her apartment. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Stan Gordon joining us, and he's focusing here on, I guess, now looking at answers. You don't think Bigfoot is riding a spaceship, although he would become Chewbacca.
Well, again, you know, a lot of people have different interpretations of these type of reports. I'm not suggesting that Bigfoot, once again, is associated with a spaceship from another planet. We don't know for sure what the UFOs represent. Well, I've seen years ago indicates that we may be dealing with more than one origin to the unknown category of the UFO phenomena. You know, when I started this so many years ago, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, a lot of the people in the UFO field were very much convinced that the UFO phenomena was extraterrestrial. This is all we were dealing with. But the more I look at the data, and I know others as well, it may be there's more than one origin to the unknown category. We just really don't know. Yes, I'm seeing a lot of similarities and correlations that it may well be that a lot of the phenomena we're dealing with, from UFOs and Bigfoot and cryptids and a lot of people I know working in the paranormal with ghosts and apparitions, there's a lot of similarities with a lot of these type of reports. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, and I've talked about this in many of my lectures for a long time, what I found going back to at least the 70s, that many low-level, close-range UFO encounters and many encounters with Bigfoot and other cryptids occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. So you've got many, many cases around high-tension power lines and power plants and gas lines and gas wells, radio towers, cell phone towers, windmill farms, reservoirs, rivers, railroad tracks, goes on and on and on. I, without any doubt, feel that there's a definite association with high-energy sources and a phenomenon we're dealing with. Once again, there's more and more indication imagine that we're dealing with something that has both a physical and a non-physical component to it. I think we're dealing with something right now that is so beyond our present scientific understanding that nobody knows what's going on, including the government.
Well, I mean, we could, I think, in theory, explain a lot of it with something that we could imagine as being possible and not too far beyond our technology. But I have to agree with you, too. Like, when we say alien, when I use the word alien, I don't use it synonymously with extraterrestrial or interstellar. I just mean it's not from our normal experience, for one thing, and it's not something that is normally found in the environment in which it's experienced. In other words, you might be able to wander around in that patch of the woods for 15 years and never experience anything because it just doesn't seem to be there. But then you'll have this experience. It will be completely alien to your experience and something that just isn't found there. It's not like you can go out bird watching and go, oh, you know, there's a Bigfoot over there. It's hanging out in the tree.
Yeah. Something else has been going on. And again, in the last several years, and I'm hearing this not only in Pennsylvania, but throughout the country from many other researchers and people in the Bigfoot field, a lot of Bigfoot investigators have been going out looking for evidence of Bigfoot or trying to see a Bigfoot in areas that have a history of Bigfoot sightings in their state. They're, most of the time, they're not finding any Bigfoot evidence, but they are encountering these strange small spheres of light or other type of light phenomena in those areas. And that's going on more and more. And I'll give you another example of another incident that happened outside of Pittsburgh in May of last year, 2019. This was early morning hours. Man lives out in the country, happened to get up and look out the kitchen window towards the back, towards the woods, and he sees a small Bigfoot, about 4.5 to 5 feet tall. Yes, we get reports of smaller ones as well. And he said this thing was covered with long, dark hair. I was walking upright on two legs. The arms extended almost down to the knees. He could see the arms swinging as it moved across his yard. And he said it moved into one particular part of the woods. He said, only maybe 3 seconds later, at the exact same spot where it entered the woods, a bright sphere of light about 3 to 4 inches in diameter suddenly appeared. And he said it was similar to looking directly into the front of a flashlight. It was only about 4 feet off the ground. And he said the light made a short, moved about a short distance for about 3 seconds and disappeared. And about 4 to 5 seconds later, the light reappeared again about 10 feet away. But this time, the small sphere emitted a bright beam of light. And that beam extended out to about 10 to 12 feet. It was there for a few seconds, then it vanished, and nothing was seen again. And I can tell you, in the last couple months, from the same area, other people are calling and reporting screams and howls and whoops like they've never heard before, tree damage, a lot of things that we've been hearing all over western Pennsylvania for the last few years. But something else I've been involved with, which might tie into this, and this is something a lot of people don't talk about or don't even know about. Because when you're thinking about the UFO phenomena, people talk about generally these large objects or unusual lights in the sky. But I'm discussing now what I call the mini UFOs that I started investigating back in the 1960s. And these reports continue to occur year after year. And they're very, very fascinating because these objects are only about an inch or two in diameter, up to about 1 to 2 feet in diameter. So they're quite often spherical, but they're not always spherical. There have been some other configurations reported as well. What's really fascinating is that whatever these things are, now some are just bright light sources of different colors, some are solid and metallic in appearance, but they come very close to people, and they generally, you know, when they get very close, they'll move away. I've had people tell me it was so close they could have reached out and touched it, but they weren't about to touch whatever these things were.
It's not the yellow pages. They can't reach out and touch it. I wanted to interrupt with a quick question here. It sounds to me almost like these are alien drones rather than tiny ETs.
Yeah. Back years and years ago when I started investigating the reports, one of the theories was that these could be some type of remote probe that could be sending back some type of data to a larger craft in the area. That was just a theory. I'm not so sure about that anymore. I don't know what the answers are because there's a lot more strange aspects to a lot of what we're talking about. If I hadn't been involved in this, if I hadn't talked to so many people who don't know each other, and I deal with this all the time. I mean, on a regular basis, I've interviewed I don't know how many witnesses in the last few days that have just amazing stories to tell. And none of these people have ever gone public. And the people are calling me. I mean, I get calls from people from all walks of life, men, women, children, you name it, educators, police officers, hunters, outdoorsmen. 99% of them want no publicity. Most of them never believed any of these reports. They didn't believe in UFOs. They, a lot of them for sure did not believe in Bigfoot until they had their own experience. And let me tell you, these people's lives in many cases are dramatically affected and changed. I mean, there's some of these people I'm still in touch with from 20, 30 years ago. And even today, they still can't deal with what they saw. They know it happened. They just can't understand it. It's just amazing how people's lives are affected by these type of reports.
Let me ask you something, because I haven't been quite as dug into the whole thing as you, but I have been interested in it for a long time, since I was young, and I've talked to a lot of people as well. And one of the things that I've noticed is that if you ask someone just sort of straight out and, like, have you ever had something strange happen, or have you ever seen a UFO? Mainly, I'll start off with that. I'm pretty good at getting people to open up. And what I've found is that even if they haven't seen one themselves, virtually all the time, with very few exceptions, a very small percentage, haven't got anyone else that hasn't seen one. In other words, even if you haven't seen one yourself, or the person you're asking hasn't seen one themselves, they'll go, well, I haven't, but I know somebody who has. Which means there's only one degree of separation between just about anybody you ask and somebody who's seen something. Which really, you know, is that, are you finding the same thing?
Oh, I've been finding that for years. I mean, I've been giving lectures on this since I was in high school. And I mean, the last few years, except of course this year, because of the virus, where all my events were canceled, I mean, everywhere I was going, in the last 2 years, just for an example, multitudes of people would come up to me and share privately their account, or they would want to talk to me later privately, which I did in many cases.
Stan, let's do our break here. We got more to come with Stan Gordon and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, one quick question I want to ask you here. Have you ever thought of taking a poll of people that you deal with, people you know, or people who visit your site, as to what percentage have actually seen something strange?
I have never done a poll, but I know over the years at many of the big events I spoke at, I mean, people would ask the crowd how many people have seen things and how many people have seen things they've reported. It was amazing. I mean, just from the reports that I get alone, plus the many other researchers and groups that I know receive many, many reports, and you don't hear about them because there's no one depository for all these reports. You know, I hear all these different studies and reports come out based on one particular place, but they can't be accurate because they're not taking into account the multitudes of other reports that other sources are getting. This phenomena is so much more common than people realize. It's unbelievable. Like I say, everywhere I go, I run into people who have seen something or know somebody has seen something. It's just everywhere. And the details you get, it's just amazing the similarities of so many of the reports.
That really begs the question, then, where's the physical evidence? You know, that scientifically valid material evidence that materials scientists, the hard scientists, not necessarily the social scientists or the cultural academics, but the ones that say, okay, I want to put it into a lab, I want to put it under a microscope, I want to analyze what's going on. You would think that by now, with that many experiences, we would just have a lot more evidence. So where is it? Where is it going, or why aren't we getting it?
Well, you'd be amazed that we seemed like we gathered a lot more physical evidence back in the 70s and 80s, maybe early 90s, than we've had in many more recent years, because we're not getting as much as we did back then for whatever reason. Yes, we get photographs in, for example, of footprints. But over the years, we casted many different types of tracks, and we had various type of materials that we recovered from different incidents over the years. We had labs examined, and a lot of these examinations, a lot of the analysis was interesting, but nothing that would prove was extraterrestrial or for something other than from Earth-type materials, but they were oddities. And one example I'll give you goes back many years, 1972. in my Silent Invasion book, there's a picture of it. You'll see some of this very interesting metallic material that we recovered. During that time, we were getting multiple reports for weeks and weeks from widespread areas of formations of luminous objects moving across the sky, and at times some type of metallic material falling from the objects. So my teams got out there, and we recovered some of this material in the trees, interwoven in the grass. Some of them we found up in the mountains under large, heavy power lines. And we had various labs examine it. And it turned out to be almost 100% aluminum. Now, what this looked like, these were big clumps under electron microscope. There were like thousands of short strands of metallic material all interwoven together. And we knew what Air Force chaff looked like. It wasn't the same thing. Chaff is designed to separate and break up to cause electronic interference or radar-radio communications to disperse in the sky. This stuff came down in clumps for whatever reason. Well, the different labs examined the material, and we knew what it was made up of, but the mystery was nobody could identify where it came from or for what purpose it was made. So that's still kind of fascinating. And I heard other stories connecting similar materials. Even the late John Keel talked about finding some of this material in West Virginia and other areas, too. He called it space grass. We called it space grass back in those days. I've had other type of interesting artifacts show up as well over the years. But once again, same thing. We were able to figure out what the material was made up of, but nobody can understand what the origin of the artifacts were, for example. And the footprints is something that's completely more interesting. And before I get into that, you know, you talked about the skepticism of the scientific community. I can understand that completely. And I dealt with that with a lot of the people in my research groups over the years, because a lot of these guys came in kind of open-minded, but more skeptical, and some were more skeptical than others. But some of these fellows are still around today. And I can tell you, some of those guys and women who were involved in the group, we get out there, and over a period of months and years, as they began to interview the witnesses, they saw the physical evidence at the scene. They saw the patterns beginning to emerge. They began to realize something is going on. We just don't know what we're dealing with.
Space grass, especially. I mean, I can't resist, especially, you know, after smoking some of that space grass, you're gonna experience.
You see, that's instead of having a Stargate, folks, you smoke some space grass, and suddenly you're over in Alpha Centauri or something.
No, don't get me wrong here. I mean, I just thought that was funny, and I couldn't resist, but I am a believer. I believe that alien visitation is real. When I use alien, like I say, I'm not certain that it's interstellar. Definitely there's something going on. People are having these experiences for sure, and yet we still have this mystery of why there's no material evidence. So it's not that I'm being skeptical. I'm going, why? There must be an intent, like what I can – the best I can figure. I don't know. What do you guys think? There's got to be an intent here on the part of the phenomena or whatever is behind it to keep that evidence out of our hands. They don't want us to have it.
We have the trace evidence gathered by the late Ted Phillips. I haven't heard of anything being done with it that indicated anything that is out of the ordinary. So do you have stuff that indicates anything out of the ordinary, or is it we're always going to be destined to have the evidence that might prove something disappear?
Well, all I can tell you, and I did know Ted well, but I did meet him at least once or twice, and it was... I understand he passed away in the last 2 or 3 years, I understand. And I probably saw him, I'm just guessing, maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. And he was telling us at a conference, and I was talking to him in detail, and he was talking about, as I remember, I'm pretty certain it was what he was dealing with, and I can't remember, somewhere out west, but he was dealing with an area where strange things were focusing on. The same thing I was dealing with up here. Thunderbird, I remember a giant flying creature sighting, I believe UFOs, I think there may have been Bigfoot involved, I'm not positive, but he was dealing with the same thing and I've been dealing with for years. And this is going on all over the country, but people don't know about it. Yeah, everybody's heard about the Skinwalker Ranch. But what was going on here in Pennsylvania in the 70s was basically the same thing. And there are other locations around the country and around the world where this is ongoing. Now, here's the thing. You can have a sporadic incident where a Bigfoot, for example, walks out in front of a car or a UFO sighting, and people report these things constantly. But there's this other interesting part of the phenomena where whatever we're dealing with, at times, this phenomena seems to focus on a particular geographical area. So it might be, you know, say, a farm. All of a sudden, a phenomenon will begin to take place. So you have these spheres of light, you have UFOs, you have screams and cries and weird footprints and Bigfoot sightings and paranormal phenomena, and this can go on for hours, days, weeks, months, or years. There's a particular property up in Fayette County, now it's been active for probably 2-3 years or more, where this is ongoing phenomena, and various people been up in a property and all confirmed seeing the same type of activity going on. There's other places. I can tell you 1979 into at least 1982 on the border of Westmoreland and Armstrong County in southwest PA, there was a series of incidents began with an object falling from the sky, dropping from the sky into a field one afternoon, and soon after, the people around the area began to hear cries and howls, and then it began. The UFOs, the lights, the Bigfoot sightings, and then, at the same time you were getting the Bigfoot sightings in the same area, you were getting a series of Black Panther sightings as well. I've been investigating the Black Panther sightings for years and years, right through this year, where we've had 3 daylight sightings in several months this year.
So these Black Panther sightings, these aren't just like, you know, the black cat that crossed the road. I've heard that some of these seem to be like they're as big as they'll cover a whole lane on the road. Like they're enormous.
Well, we're talking about the animal you see in the zoo that people would consider being a black leopard or black jaguar, an animal not common in this part of the country. And throughout the country and in other countries where these animals are not supposed to exist, they keep showing up. Like I said, I had 3 daylight sightings in different areas in the last several months, all very detailed reports. I mean, this thing literally ran 10 feet in front of the person inside of a building out in the country in daylight. And they did find some paw prints afterwards, and it's another whole mystery, but it gets much stranger because, one, and these, again, are details a lot of people don't know about.
Let's find out those conditions in our next segment with Gene and Randall and Stan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.